Apartment Friends, it's me, Leslie Mathis, with the Multifamily Streamline Podcast. I'm so excited to continue our journey with Melanie Whitlock on the road from RPM to Asset Manager, our six-month check-in. Melanie is the Asset Manager for Streamline Multifamily Group and Woodfield Development. Tune in for an exclusive six-month check-in with Regional Manager turned Asset Manager who has experienced the remarkable journey of self-growth, team building, and strategic prowess. Discover her strategies for self-improvement, team building, and proactive strategies that deliver outstanding results. In this podcast, we're catching up with Asset Manager for Streamline Multifamily Group and Woodfield Development, Melanie Whitlock, who shares her secrets to success, including investing in personal growth, strategic planning, and fostering a collaborative team environment. Melanie Whitlock is a native of Hemingway, South Carolina, and moved to Charleston, South Carolina in 2007 to attend Charleston Southern University to obtain a bachelor's degree in education. She started her career at CSU in college housing and then moved to Rome, Georgia to become the assistant dean of students at Shorter University, where she also obtained a Master of Arts in Leadership. Life brought Melanie back to Charleston in 2016, where she started in property management industry as a leasing professional. She quickly moved up to community manager in the Daniel Allen market. Shortly after, she was promoted to regional property manager to oversee the Charleston, Myrtle Beach, and Greenville markets. She has worked for clients including Woodfield Development, MetLife, Prudential, Johnson Development Associates, Orange Capital, The Beach Company, and Collins Group. Her primary focuses are centered around operational excellence and streamlined communication with third-party property management groups. Melanie and her husband, Drew, who also builds apartments for a living, currently reside in Hemingway on her family farm. In her spare time, she loves to spend time with her family, boating, playing the piano, and singing for her church, and of course, shopping. Well, Melanie Whitlock, welcome back for your six-month check-in. I'm so excited you kind of committed to. I volunteered you to commit to this journey of regional to asset manager, and I can't even believe it's been 6 months. So welcome back and thank you.
6 months doesn't sound right. It kind of feels like it's been shorter, but it also feels like it just naturally has been the past 5 years of my life. So it's been pretty awesome to get to this point. I've learned a ton in those, you know, roughly 180 days. So.
I know I can relate to that. Maybe not learning the 180 days, but I can relate to you. It feels like you started yesterday and it was so fun. Like your first or second week, we went to a big party and had a great time. But it also like that feels like yesterday, but it also feels like we've been doing this together for a long time. And I mean, I guess we have, but anyways, like time just really goes by so fast. So in true journey fashion, can you tell us what the good, bad, and ugly have been?
Well, the good is we've started working with a new client. So that's been like cool to get another developer on the books and learning about their goals and how we can help them meet those goals. So that's been probably the best thing in the past 30 days. And then bad is still, you know, trying to manage to expectations when, you know, we have people that want all different kind of things and meeting them where they are, even though you've got the same kind of goal in mind, however, they want to reach it completely differently. And right now with how the market's been shifting, it's been hard and kind of, you know, we'll talk about strategy later, but keeping up with those strategies on a daily basis. So that's good. That's bad. I mean, I don't really have anything ugly right now. You and I were talking about how it's gotten so much better between us. And for anybody listening, Leslie and I have worked together for quite some time, but not in this capacity. And it is different. You know, we're running 120 miles an hour with different partners and different clients. And a lot of times, like, we've got to do better about communicating, but I feel like we have grown a lot in the past, I would say 60 days, and how we keep up with the million things that we have going on and making sure we support each other during that. So no ugly.
Yeah, I can relate to all of that. And
I mean, I think the last point's a really good point. I think people should hear this, that, you know, we worked together for 7 years, but in a very different capacity. And, you know, you and I talked about it this week, that we never really worked directly day in and day out together. And so, but because we had such a close relationship and such a good work relationship too, I never anticipated us to have any bumps in the road. Like, I just thought it would just be another day. And I really wasn't prepared for that. And not to say any of it was bad or tragic or horrific, but it really was, you know, kind of an eye opener. And it allowed me to do some self-reflection of, okay, well, and in transparency, I hadn't had a direct rapport in 7 years. And so, you know, I'm glad that I recognized that and could say, okay, I have some ownership in this. Like, but you and I talk about it too. Like, it's always the people, and then communication is key to everything. And I think people need to know, like, when you hire somebody, it might not always be smooth sailing, but when you know that's the right person, communication will fix a lot, but you also have to stay the course and know that not everything can be rainbows and butterflies all the time. But again, when you have the right person, you like, you figure it out.
For sure.
It's just, I don't, you know, like, we deal with people every day that we have to have some type of commitment. And I always say too, and I think this has been part of my growth journey over the last 5 years, but probably like heavily concentrated in the last 8 or 9 months, is when things aren't right or there's challenges, like, what ownership do you personally have in it? And how can you fix it? Because sometimes maybe it is the other person, and it wasn't in our scenario, but just when you look at challenges of maybe dealing with a client or a management company or your boss or, you know, a direct rapport, when things aren't going well, really stepping back and saying, oh my gosh, like, what could I do to fix it? Sometimes even that's the quickest way to resolve issues, is what could I do to change this? What could I do to make it easier or better for the other person?
And I think too, when we started learning, you know, we keep saying this on all of our calls, you're the big picture, and I put it into fruition. And I think it was shocking to you, like, how much I love to do Excel spreadsheets and organizational things and just, you know, streamlining processes. You know, I always say I'm the operations girl, just because that's, you know, where I feel like my bread and butter is. So it's been cool to kind of learn that from each other and how we can tag team things to, you know, be the best process that we can be for any client and for our teams and supporting our teams.
Oh yeah. And I think we are definitely a really good team, and you're right. But I've known this about me for a long time. Maybe that's why I like naturally gravitated to you all those years ago, is I even knew when I was on site as a manager, like, I knew what I was good at. I knew that I was big picture. I knew that I was a people person. I'm a problem solver, but all the little details are like death by a thousand paper cuts for me. And so I always knew that I needed a strong assistant manager. I always needed somebody on my team. It didn't matter to me what the position was, because, you know, I don't care about titles, but it was always important to me to fill my team with people that filled the gap for, you know, where I wasn't strong. And what I've noticed, especially with us working hand in hand every day on so many different projects and with different clients, and has also been an eye opener. Now I notice it on other teams and within like the people we work with. I have a manager that he is like a better version of me, and he's very people oriented, and he's very big picture, and he just knows how to, I don't know, kind of work the magic on a lease up. But he is good at reporting, but it's something that lingers because he's so in the details of the people. But his director is like a mover and a shaker when it comes to reporting and getting budgets out and funding requests. And they honestly make this perfect team. Like, I just really noticed that now.
Well, a lot of times we feel like we want to hire people that have similar personalities to ours so that we have, not saying that you shouldn't make sure that when you're hiring people, you mesh well so that you have a good team environment within the office, but finding people, just like you said, that create your circle in different talents and tasks, because like you can't stand to do spreadsheets. You literally won't to do anything. She calls me, guys, while I'm on vacation. She goes, "You sure? I'll buy you something really nice if you do my quarterly report for me," because it's just not her passion. That's fine. And I don't mind doing it at all. And I told her next time I would, if she bought me a Julie Voss bracelet, but it's just like, but if she would hire somebody similar, you'd never get anything done. So, you know, you were talking to me earlier about hot buttons, and that's like, I think about it now, staffing is one of my big things. And I feel like we don't recruit necessarily the best way we can, because obviously the employment rate is so low right now. So the talent pool is kind of shallow as we're trying to find people and we're stealing Jack and Jill from different places. But instead of just filling a position to fill it, like, let's really think about what makes a team function and who's the left arm and who's the right leg, and, you know, creating a whole body of people that what can walk and talk and do all the things to make it the most successful lease up or stabilized property or whatever it may be, instead of just like sticking a body into a position.
Yes. And, you know, I think you and I are both so passionate about this too, is when you find those right people, giving them the growth path that fits them best too, because I think we've proven over the years now, it should not be this leasing assistant manager, manager, like it's really about putting the people in the position that they're really meant and strongest in. And, you know, so many times leasing doesn't transition to assistant manager well.
Well, the assistant manager position to me, it's like, it's the hardest. You're not getting the leasing bonuses you want. You're ready to be the manager, or you think you are. You're like stuck in the middle. You're chasing rent. It's kind of interesting to watch people like take on that position, whether they get stuck there a long time or they just don't love it because they miss the aspects of the leasing position, or they're just ready for the next challenge. But you don't kind of skip that position in your progress through the industry, and you've just got to take from it and learn from it. But as we're recruiting for that position, I think that's a hard one to pick up the phone and, you know, make sure that person is going to be super passionate about where they are now in their career.
Agreed. You know, and the other interesting thing is, you know, on lease ups, there used to be this way that, oh, you bring the assistant manager on last. And then there was always these conversations of, oh, well, they have to be a hybrid. They have to be able to lease and work the floor or also do the reporting in the back end. And those are maybe a little easier to find today, but I mean, that's a lot of pressure too. And it's a lot of just saying, oh, it has to be this way or it has to be that way. But what we found recently as well, and this really is a great experience on a lease up, is, you know, so many times our manager needs to be kind of front of the house and really connected to the leasing floor. But then they're also managing the construction team and challenges and delivery issues and, you know, all the things. But so then reporting lags because they just don't have time. So now it's opened up this door where, you know, we can find these assistant managers who are almost ready for the next level, and they can kind of be the back of the house or the manager's right hand. And then it's just this beautiful relationship of kind of this perfect scenario for a lease up. And it really gets that assistant manager ready because now they've had kind of this front row view of the challenges that come as a manager, because, you know, there's still that perception of, oh, I can do it. And you just don't realize how hard it really is until you've had, you know, the experience. Mm-hmm. And same thing as like manager to regional. But now we've been able to find these assistant managers who are almost ready, and then they can, you know, be the right hands. And then their next step after that lease up is taking on their own property as a manager. And that's been really cool to watch too.
Well, I think transitioning from regional to asset manager, you know, this is a less stressful position. You know, there's a lot of weight riding on your shoulders to make sure the property's performing. But at the end of the day, like, you are not the boots on the ground. You've just got to make sure the team has like what they need to be successful. But I think what's been cool for me to learn is like, I have more time to sit down and dig into the details to help from that perspective. Obviously, you know, we're setting up lease ups left and right, but just digging into what maybe from the outside looking in, a regional or manager may not be able to see, or taking their strategies and putting them to the next level. So that's been something I've really learned in the past 6 months.
That's amazing. So on a few, well, I don't know which episode it was, but one of the commitments you had made, since we're talking about people, is one of your goals for this year was to really mentor and kind of find somebody to pour into. How's that process went?
Well, who I thought it was going to be, I think will still be. It hasn't, you know, necessarily came to fruition as quickly as I would like, but there's a certain person that is getting promoted, and luckily she will stay in my portfolio. And I really hope to kind of, she's followed a similar path in my career. I think she's going to thrive as being a regional. So, but on the other hand of that, our new client that we started working with, we've been specifically communicating with our realtor and try that. Oh, Leslie, that's been a job, hasn't it? But it's different. You know, when you come from the leasing game and selling real estate and trying to go back and forth between leasing and selling, and we were talking about this person not knowing what she doesn't know and creating reports for her and trying to help her understand the multifamily aspect of this visit business, excuse me. That's been, I think, eye-opener for me, and where I want to lead to my next mentor journey is trying to really educate people on how this business works, because you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah, and I think when you talk about that and you look at how, you know, like, you're not far removed from it. Like, as a regional, you spend so much time like putting out the fires and dealing with the resident issue and the HR issue. It's really hard to pour back into your team. So I really commend you for finding these opportunities now that, you know, kind of that, unfortunately, a lot of that is a time suck, and you get, as a regional, you get so just kind of burnt out and spent because you're dealing with all the things that you don't want to deal with, that you can't even do your job that you were hired for, and to run the real estate. And I understand that both go hand in hand, but, you know, it's just so unfortunate that, you know, 20% of your time is left to do what really is meaningful. I really commend you for, you know, now that you have that piece removed, like, that's kind of the beauty of asset management, is you like really get to focus on, how do I make more money? How do I, you know, make the asset perform at a higher level? You can really be more strategic, but I love that you're taking your time now and finding other people to pour into. I think it's meaningful.
Well, the education part of our business too, sometimes, like you were saying, with the regionals not having the time, I was teaching a class you and I set up for, I think it was like an I can't even remember what training it was, but I like made sure to tell the managers that were on that call. I was like, education and training can seem like the last thing you want to do when you have 100 things on your to-do list. But looking at it from a positive standpoint and saying, hey, I'm going to invest in myself today. I'm going to try to take this time, disconnect, see what I can learn from somebody else's perspective, ask a question, make sure that I'm doing everything I can to be as efficient as possible. And we have like really tried, particularly with Streamline, to make that a goal of the year, is like continuously pouring into people through training, even when they don't want to. And by the time you get to the end of it, you're like, okay, that was refreshing. I may have gotten one piece of advice out of that whole entire hour, but that's one thing I didn't have when I walked into that Zoom class or, you know, to that training. So I really encourage anybody listening on the call, like, don't look at training as, and I used to be the worst, because I will tell you, when you get on Elevate, or I can't remember what Graystar's platform is, or any platform that you get on, and those online trainings are not necessarily the most fun thing to do. But I feel like we've been trying to bring people to the table that also care about your well-being and your positivity and your confidence levels and being the best person you could be, while also focusing on how that applies to the industry.
Yeah, agreed. And even in the leasing rally, it did come up that, you know, being on this training call doesn't, like, that's not where the magic happens, and that's not where we make money, and that's not what closes deals. But, you know, kind of like you're saying, the flip side of that is, you know, I think you have to pick and choose which ones you're doing. But when you're intentional and you're finding the classes and the training that are going to grow you and make you better, like, I would just say that truly does equate to a higher closing ratio, more commissions, a better performing asset. It really is about investing back in yourself.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, that one thing when I started in the industry, you know, was going to apartment association events. And a lot of times people were like, well, I just don't, you know, necessarily enjoy the content, or I don't feel like it's doing anything. But it's also when you go to these trainings and you go to these events, networking is such a big component of our business. And I know between you and I would not be anywhere as far as I am in my career had I not met the people I had. And most of the time it was outside of my office and making sure to put myself out there and, you know, taking advantage of any opportunities that they had. So it's even like you connecting on a Zoom call with a training, and then all of a sudden that person says something that you're struggling with and you learn from them because you connect outside of that. So using those, you know, little small opportunities to further your industry circle.
Oh my gosh. Yes. And it's really like, as we've built out this interview series for the podcast, like, it is one of the popular questions that gets asked, like, what is your involvement in your local association and what has that done for you? But you're so spot on. Like, I will honestly say that 99% of my friends are in this industry, and most of them go back to my first association experience in Charlotte. And that's also where I fell into the industry. But it's interesting, like, because we didn't plan this, I didn't even know you were going to say that. But even today, I was reflecting on that. And as we've been growing Streamline, as we've added on clients and sent out proposals, I can tell you that every one of those has come from a connection that I've made over the years. And some of them are old and some of them are newer, but that is really how this industry works. And I mean, I would not be here if it wasn't for all of those connections that I've made. And, you know, and as your career grows, it is sometimes harder to commit to some of that in the time and as your life changes. But I can tell you, picking and choosing and still being part of it, it's meaningful, and it will change your career. And I would even say it just would bless your life in general.
Absolutely.
So I know you mentioned this a little bit ago and you had some hot buttons, but tell me what your biggest hot button is today.
So with, you know, the market conditions changing and trying to pivot as best as possible to meet our equity partners' expectations, increase cash flow, all the things, it's been a shift of strategy weekly. And my hot button is just making sure that we are so proactive upon it that we don't, like, it, if you think about it, especially in particular markets, like a Charleston market or a Savannah market or Apollo Beach, I'm trying to think of all the places we've got May to August. And if you don't make it happen between May and August, it's, you know, you can shut the doors kind of thing, the seasonality. And when you're trying to do these lease ups, especially with higher unit counts, if you don't focus on getting what you can get during that time frame, obviously, everybody, if you're listening to this in an industry, the back door opens. Here come the renewals. We're going backwards. What are we going to do? We're going to have to tank rates. We're going to have to add 2 months free concession to make up for it. We need 15 leases a week versus where we could have only needed 7. And then the list goes on and on and on. But had we just been weekly diving into pricing and weekly, you know, looking a little bit closer at the comp set and making smaller changes, that would have been or made the entire difference in finishing a lease up in 15 months versus finishing in 20 months, you know, however long that may be. But that hot button is on myself, making sure that I am asking the right questions to my teams. Hey, we're not meeting the mark this week. What can we do to make a small impact? And just, you know, talking with the partners, making sure the goals are in line. What do we need to do? Is velocity a little bit more important? Occupancy. And then also hoping my teams come to me with those same questions. And if they're not halfway to their goal, you know, we tell our managers all the time, what's it look like on Thursday? If it doesn't look like it needs to look, then let's, you know, put some strategies in place to go through the weekend. And you got an email from somebody this week on Thursday that was only just to tell you, hey, I think we're in a good position. That's even to me strategy. That's like, hey, you thought about it. Here's what you have in place. You like what you have in place. You feel like you have what you need. Let's go for it from that point. Over communicating every week from a strategy standpoint is 100% my hot button right now going into the busiest part of our business, leasing wise. So,
yeah. And so many of those things are just so top of mind for me. And, you know, I think we had to tell people, like, if you're good, you just got to tell us you're good on Thursday because we don't have time to follow up. I mean, with one client, we have 12 opened assets, but we have a boatload coming, and it's just, we have to know that they're thinking about it. And I think you're right. Like, it's so easy today to just get focused on leases that you could miss the big picture of your delivery schedule and what that means for, you know, the stabilization of the asset. And I mean, that's what happened on one of the projects. And now we're kind of in a challenge that it's going to be hard to stabilize with the back door, and the deal is large. So really staying focused and not being too narrow on what your focus is. Like, we oftentimes in this industry joke, like, leases fix everything, but it has to be so much more than that, because if it's not, then that's where mistakes happen.
Right. I mean, the conversations just surrounding debt and equity right now, I think our industry, like, we've got to get ready to hunker down. Like, this is going to be a hard part of our business. And, you know, some people on the call are like, well, Melanie, you've only been in it for 7 years. Well, that's great, but I'm going to go back to the basics that I know and hopefully use those to continue to be successful and to continue to be a strategist, whether the market's roaring or it's going to take a step back, which I think was what we're on the line for. But that doesn't mean that you can't still be operationally successful. It just wouldn't be COVID rents as we had known it last year.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I think you have, you know, being in the industry 7 years, you at least have seen some ups and downs, but, you know, and so many people have been in longer and I've been in three times that amount. And, so probably, you know, there are some of us that are naive to it and some of us are maybe anticipating, you know, the worst and hopefully it won't be that bad, but it really is about strategy and making sure, I mean, we've said it since kind of the end of Q3 last year that really this year and next is going to be about getting back to the basics and becoming really strong operators. And if we're not looking at these kind of key performance metrics, then that's really how we miss like our expiration detail and things that are, you know, kind of the basics and the foundation of our operations.
Well, just knowing that in general, and you kind of gut checked me this week, and I used to be like, so focused on the fact that, okay, well, if somebody's too young or somebody's too old, what's like the perfect amount of experience to take on a new lease up or take on a stabilized deal? And I think that's one thing that we have to like support every person in our business, like whether, you know, you're an RPM and you've only managed one deal, but you've got the capabilities to run multiple assets and you just go and crush it, or you're 60 years old and you still want to be on site running just one property, or you take a step back from being a regional, or you take a step back from even being a manager and just supporting people in their roles, no matter how long they've been in the industry, and like learning from each other, whether you're the new kid on the block showing people how to make TikToks, or you've been doing it 25 years and you want to tell people, okay, let's go back to the basics of opening an office the right way. Like learning from each other from all eras of time in this industry is what's really been cool. And I like what we were on that interview yesterday and it was just refreshing, like to see kind of a different perspective from somebody that's, you know, been on site and been on site a lot longer than I have, and how we could learn from each other.
Oh yeah. You know, I've seen a lot of regionals take steps back and go back to being on site, and because they get to do what they love and they don't have to be so involved in the HR issues and some of the other politics that come with it. And, but those candidates or managers, they really, they kind of thrive, like, because they're so appreciative to kind of deal with one and focus on what they love, that, if we were too narrow-minded, we could miss out on a really great candidate that could run the asset. And I think you're right. Like, really, like, that's what it's really about. Like, learning from everybody else's experience so that, you know, maybe even just in a kind of rough way of saying, like, well, and I tell you this all the time, like, learn from my mistakes so you don't ever have to live that pain again. And some of our mistakes we have to learn and live on our own, but some of it, like if we just would really listen to others, we could avoid too.
Not learn the hard way.
Yeah. I don't want to learn the hard way. I'm sure 20 years ago, that was just kind of my MO, but I'm glad I don't want to learn it that way anymore. And honestly, just that's like kind of the empowerment of being around people in our industry and the different experiences they have had. That's why we're going to start this weekly call for people to call into and join each week to, you know, have a safe place to vent, a safe place to talk through challenges or celebrate. And so I'm really excited about that coming soon. And I think it just really ties to what you're saying, is if when we're open-minded and we learn from others, like, it, we're kind of super powerful and can conquer the world, the multifamily world.
It's a big world.
Yeah, it is. But it's so small too.
Absolutely.
All right, Molly, this has been amazing. You leave us with, since you mentioned it, we are kicked off leasing season. What's the like one leasing tip or trick you want to leave the listeners with?
Leasing tip. I feel like you put me on the spot with that one. Oh man. Well, it's been a resounding theme for me recently, is meeting people where they are. So I think this can even translate into, you know, how you greet someone or how you take them on a tour, letting their situation translate to how you can help them in their living, like where they want to live, but also just meeting, if you're happy in your role, no matter if you're leasing or you're just managing expectations on the site, just meeting people where they are from a staff perspective too, whether that's your manager or you're managing down. People want to be heard and people want to be seen. And that's the easiest way to make connections. And I think that's a lot of time when I was leasing, one of my favorite things is, you know, building that relationship and trying to make those connections so that people felt more comfortable with me is, you know, taking control of that journey in their living, their living era of wherever they are, but also just, you know, learning from other people. Like I learned a lot about people sitting at a leasing desk, no matter who it was or where it was, people's situations. And that was a fun part of my career. I don't know. There's just a cool part of being of even lease ups are stabilized. Like you just meet the coolest people, but meet people where they are. Long story short.
I love that. I had no idea that's what you were going to say, but you know, obviously that resonates with me because I always say all things equal, people buy from the person they like the most, and all things equal, unequal, they still buy from the person they meet the most and are like the most. And it's really what you're saying is it's about them, and it's about making sure that we listen. Listening's been such a big thing for me too. And if we really take the time to meet them where they're at and identify their needs, whether it's our team or the prospect or really just anybody, like that's when really the magic happens. And I think that's the best piece of advice you could give people. I mean, you do that, and I guarantee, even at just at work, your closing ratio will go up, your bonuses will be more, and you'll be a happy person.
There we go. Take the advice, people. We're smart.
Not hard. Well, Melanie, thank you so much for doing this. As always, I appreciate you. And I guess we'll check back in a few months on road from RPM to asset manager.
Thanks, Leslie. Have a great day, guys, and glad y'all are tuning in. Let us know if you have any questions.
Streamline Multifamily Group offers asset management services, training, coaching, and more. Visit us at streamlinemultifamily.com for more information and to contact us on any help that you might need. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. Please subscribe, rate, and leave a review. See you back here next week.